Welcome to The Public Storyteller. My name is Michael Stock with Dr. Karen Neal. Karen is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. Hi, Karen.
Hello, Michael.
What story do you have today?
Michael, here is a storyteller who is also an author, and she's presenting her book, Backcountry Trails of Florida, A Guide to Hiking Florida's Water Management District, at the Miami International Book Fair. Her name is Terry Mashore.
I was a land management specialist for the St. John's River. It was a Tuesday afternoon around 3 o'clock in December of 2010. We were working in our offices that day, typing in logging tickets, because it was a bad weather day for fire. You see, we were required to burn every single day to take care of our environment and ecosystems and to prevent wildfire. So if you didn't burn, it had only better be because the weather was bad. Well, just about 3 o'clock, we got a phone call. Wildfire at Lock Lusa. I jumped up and ran to my boss's door to listen in. You see, I was new to the field, and I wanted some action. We had been burning about 3 days a week since I had entered the field a year ago, but I hadn't gotten the action of a wildfire with the flames burning out of control and the action of putting water on a fire for initial attack. So this was my chance. She hung up the phone and she said, go get your fire engine, hook up the trailer, get your ATV on it, and come meet me. I'll make the map. We have what are called brush trucks because the big fire engines can't get out into the woods. They would just get stuck. So we have special brush trucks that hold like 300 gallons. And then we hook up our trailer that we drive the ATV on, and the littler ATVs have their own water, and we drive those down into the, you know, the area between the marsh and the trees so they can get in there because the brush trucks will get stuck there. So I pulled the fire engine around, and she jumped in the driver's seat. We drove down the road, and we were headed down US 301. If you know 301, you know this is Marjorie Kanan Rawlings country, the country of Cross Creek. Just outside of Gainesville, where University of Florida is, deep in the woods near Micanopy. This is where she wrote about the lake Lock Lusa as it runs through Cross Creek into Orange Lake, where she wrote her stories about operating an orange grove and fighting black bears and walking in the woods and getting in her boat on the St. John's River and its lakes. That's where we were headed, and it looks just like it did then, with pines and limes and depression marshes and marshes and swamps. And if you've read her book, you know she talks about the swamp of the River Styx that leads into the depths of hell, and that's where we were going. So back down on US 301, we drove up on the flames, and we saw the black billowing smoke. And it was going all the way up into the air to where it covered the sun. And I started getting nervous. I wanted this initial attack, but it was a little scary. I hung onto the dashboard and just squeezed and looked at these flames and the fire and the smoke as it was going up into the air, and we kept heading towards it. So we took a right down a dirt road, and we looked both ways before we crossed the railroad tracks, because in the forest, there's no crossing guard or crossing signs or lights. And we kept going on the graded road until we entered the forest. Today, it's a lot of pines and limes and marshes, but pretty much the same as it was when Marjorie Kanan Rawlings was there. And we drove right up to the Florida Forest Service trucks. So the Florida Forest Service responds to every wildfire in Florida, even if it's on their property or not. And we rolled out our maps on the hood of the truck, but I watched the fire, and I saw the fire coming up to the graded road, and I was like, let's get the water out, let's pull the hoses, let's lay some sprinklers, let's fight this fire. But they were smart. They knew that we had to plan and look at where we were and teach these guys the lay of the land. They were bringing out their bulldozers, and they were going to be going into these woods that they didn't know in front of fire. Their goal was to put lines and lines of tracks that would get rid of all the brush so when the fire came, it would stop. Well, as we were standing there, you wouldn't believe it, but the fire jumped over the graded road and kept going. And I just wanted to fight that fire. But it was getting late, and it was starting to get dark, and we had to teach these firefighters about the land. Finally, we heard the word, the fire has entered the marsh. And you know that if the fire enters the marsh, this is not a good thing, because you can't take those bulldozers and those firefighters into the marsh where they're going to get stuck, and the fire would burn right across them. So that means I was finally going to get my action and get those drip torches out, and we were actually going to fight fire with fire. So the bulldozers went to the edge of the marsh. They went in front of us and put a line between the trees and the marsh. We did not want to burn those trees. Those are valuable. When you log them and then you plant them back, we had to take care of those trees. We were going to burn the marsh so it wouldn't cross the marsh and head to Cross Creek and Marjorie Keenan Rawlings' historic home. They went ahead of us, they put the fire line in, and we came behind them with our drip torches, and we dripped fire on the ground. And then we watch it burn, make sure it didn't get to the trees, and then we put more fire on the ground. And we kept going and going and going around the marsh, and it got darker and darker and later until we were burning, and it was midnight. And at that time, we hadn't eaten since noon. It had been 12 hours, and we were hungry. And when you were by the fire with the heavy drip torch and all your fire gear covering your entire body, you were hot and sweating. And then luckily your drip torch would run out of fuel. You would pass on to the next person with their full drip torch, and then they would take over. And then you would sit on the ATV and wait, and you were the lookout for the fire to make sure it didn't get up in the trees. And then you were sweating and wet, and with the freezing cold air in December, close to Christmas, you would get freezing and chattering, and it was so cold. And then just at that moment, you would switch back in and get your drip torch and put your fire in the marsh again and get hot. And we kept going and going as the 3 a.m. happened and 4 a.m. came and 5 a.m., and it started getting close to sunrise. We started getting kind of loopy. We were like, oh, when is our replacement coming? When are they going to come help us? They've got to come. We have to have people coming. We can't do this any longer. Someone brought us some crackers and candy bars, and that kept us going. And finally, about 9 o'clock in the morning, we had finished burning the marsh. And I crawled up between two bushes and up out of the marsh to where everybody was waiting to replace us. They did their briefing, they were ready to take over and watch the fire from where we took off for that day so we could go home and sleep and come back. And I crawled out of that marsh and I said, we burned the marsh and we have saved Cross Creek. And that is one experience I will just never forget for the rest of my life.
Terry Mashur with a story about fighting a fire.
Yeah, we think of people who fight fires as being, maybe 6'4", and maybe macho.
And that's such a sweet voice.
And yeah, and also we think of them as working for the fire department, maybe the forest or something like that. But we don't think about land management specialist as a job title for a firefighter. And I certainly learned a lot from this story, and I certainly was emotionally involved in this story.
Well, she did make it sound like the property that she was protecting was sacred ground.
Yes, this is where Cross Creek, Marjorie Kennan Rawlings' property on US 301, and it's really important as a tourist destination and also as a cultural artifact of Florida.
And she did a real good job of describing the landscape as well as dripping fire to pre-burn.
Oh, the words that she used painted a picture, even if they were not continuous. She used drip torch, swamps, depression marshes, depths of hell, black billowing smoke, initial attack. And that wonderful expression that I will never use again without thinking of Terry's story, fighting fire with fire.
It was a very exciting story. I mean, it's also very dangerous. There was moments where the fire could, when it leaped across the road, it's a very serious situation.
And when you hear somebody using dialogue in the middle of a story like, let's fight this fire, you know that this is somebody who is really putting herself in danger. That she was, on one hand, really pumped, but then as the night goes by, and I love when she says 3 a.m., 4 a.m., 5 a.m., and we're exhausted and waiting for reinforcements, she's pumped, but this is a real trial, excuse the expression, by fire.
I can't imagine myself in that heavy gear fighting for 12 hours without any food or backup. Quite exciting.
Absolutely harrowing. And yet, I laughed in the middle of it. I hate to say this, but she said something just in passing that just pulled me out of the story in one way, but actually put me deeper in the story in another way. She said, we got to the tracks and we looked both ways because, of course, there's no lights or crossing guard in the middle of the swamp or the middle of the forest. And I had to think, yeah, I never thought about that before. You've got to really be careful about the normal things. Wouldn't it be a kick in the head that you're fighting a fire in the swamp and you get hit by a train? And it really was quite an amazing thing.
She was anxious to fight that fire, but the real firefighters were kind of scoping out the area and having a plan of attack, and she was anxious to do something. So I guess she had to give way to the experienced firefighters.
I feel like we were really on Terry's side here. And this is something that is done a lot in movies where you have the neophyte, the newbie who is learning from the veteran. And they do that partly as exposition in a movie. You know, well, what's going on here? And, oh, you got to do this, this, and this. And I felt that's a really good device in a movie or in a novel, because then the reader, who is the neophyte of all neophytes, learns what the newbie on the job is learning. And I felt in the same way that Terry was sort of our representative. She was explaining what that feeling is when you want to go further, but you're taught what to do and how to pace yourself. And she uses an expression in the middle of the story. She says, you wouldn't believe it, but. And that you really pulls us in. You wouldn't believe it. We really feel attached to Terry in that way. And I mean that in a narrative sense, that we are very close to the narrator of the story, seeing what she sees and feeling what she feels. And part of that is excitement, but it's some fear at the same time.
And it came out okay. They did save the property.
They did. This is definitely a wildfire story with a happy ending.
I'm sure this is an experience Terry will never forget.
Yeah, and you know, she does something else. She's a writer, and she says exactly the time, exactly the date of the story. And I remember this from a novel that I love, which is when you set the time, the date, what you're saying to people between the lines is, I will never forget this. I changed after this moment. There's a dividing line in my life between before 3 o'clock on that Tuesday afternoon and after 3 o'clock on that Tuesday afternoon. And so we know very clearly, without her having to say anything, that Terry really changed as well. And that's what makes a successful story, that kind of transformation, not only on the part of the narrator and protagonist, but on the part of the listener and reader as well.
What's the novel?
Endless Love by Scott Spencer.
Terry Mashour is an author as well. She'll be presenting her book, Backcountry Trails of Florida, a guide to hiking Florida's Water Management District, at Miami Book Fair International, November 19th, Sunday morning at 11 a.m. Well, thanks for bringing that story in, Karen. If our listeners have a story of South Florida they'd like to share, how can they get in touch with you?
Send me an email at cneil, C-N as in Nancy, E-I-L-E at fau.edu.
Our website also has contact information as well as archive stories at WLRN.org, click radio, and the Public Storyteller. Thanks, Karen.
Thank you, Michael. See you next week.
Dr. Karen Neal is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. My name is Michael Stock. The Public Storyteller returns next Sunday.